This morning, I want to bring you a message. And you know, I'm on a quick timetable because we're trying to do so much in just a small time. But I picked a great woman to be an example to us. And she was out of the Old Testament. Yay, I love that. But women then, and I've said this before, are not much different outside of the conveniences that we have today with dishwashers and motor cars and all the things that we have. But in this woman's life, she went through things just like we did, and we do, I should say. And the title of my message this morning is Matters of the Heart. And I did a heart message since it was a February theme, and I thought that this would be good. But according to the scriptures, the heart can be troubled. Amen, girls? I mean, you know, when we're saved or we give our heart to Jesus, that does not mean we don't go through stuff. But the descriptions found by a list that I got out of a biblical concordance says this. It's a little bit lengthy, so I'm going to say it fast. Our hearts get wounded. Our hearts get pierced. Our hearts get grieved. It gets broken. But the good news is, say good news. It can be cheerful, glad, joyful, and rejoicing. But it also can be wise. It can be foolish. It can be steadfast. It can be true, and it can be upright. Lastly, it can be frightened, faint, cowardly, melt like wax. That's usually for a boy or, you know, a guy at February. No, kidding. But it can melt like wax, and the heart can be wandering, forgetful, dull, stubborn, proud, hardened, wicked, and perverse. It's no wonder that God's word always has to say something about something to get us in a heart check. Amen? But the word says this. Keep thy heart with all diligence. And that word diligence means attentiveness. There's things in our heart we have to give attention to, ladies. And usually it's not the good things, it's the things that hold us back. It's the things that disappoint us. It's the things that make us not sure about who we are or what our destiny is. It's those things of diligence. But it goes on to say, keep thy heart with all diligence. Say all. Not some, but all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. And the strong word, the Strong's Concordance says this, the word issue means boundaries, sources, outgoing. The Old Testament, if you remember anything about the Old Testament, and I think I've said this before, even our Lord, even our God, the creator of heaven and earth, put boundaries in the beginning of time. One of the boundaries that he put was over the ocean. He commanded the ocean. He gave it a boundary according to the word and said you can only come so far and then you have to go back. And the reason God wants us to have boundaries in our life and in our heart because he knows if we don't, we will be like that ocean that will take over the whole earth and drown everything that's good. And so God looked upon the earth and he said, it is good. In the beginning of the time, God created everything to be good, girls. That's what he wants in our life. But we have issues in our heart that we've not yet had boundaries. And what I find out about boundaries in my own life is usually if it's a good thing, I don't need boundaries. If it's all the good things I do for God, all the good thoughts that I have towards you, towards God, towards ministry, towards life in itself, them are the kind you don't actually have to have boundaries because it's all the good stuff. But when it comes to the negative things in our heart, the issues, we honest to God, we need to have boundaries. And the reason we do is because the Bible talks about that we have to take control of certain things in our life. And then the Bible says that we have to cast them down. We have to cast down all the vain imaginations. We have to cast all things down that goes against the heart of God and the principles that God's laid out to us. And when you put them in a boundary and they're not scattered and they're not rushing through every facet of your life, through your marriage, through the marketplace, through your personal life, through your friendships, your parents, your children, when everything's put in a boundary of negativity, that's where you can harness something and bring it under control. You've got to start getting heart issues under control in your life because if what you don't control will control you. And the Bible says that we are the ones that have all authority over heaven and earth. We are the ones that's absolutely able to put our foot upon the neck of the enemy and say enough is enough. We know our place, but yet we still have the issues of the heart. God says this, put boundaries. He's looking at the issues of your heart this morning. Can you say amen? I love that. Now, this is good. This is kind of interesting. It kind of goes along the whole thing I just said. In the Hebrew, that word means the kernel of the nut. It means it's so, you know, your boundary, you should bring all those things into such a small thing, just like I said. Then it's easy to maintain, not maintain, but control and kick out of your life. But isn't that interesting? It means the kernel of the nut. I love that. Amen? Amen. Genesis chapter 24 through 27, we do not have time to read. I would ask that you write them three chapters down and read them because they're going to go along with my message this morning. I want to talk to you about a woman, and I said this earlier, and her name is Rebecca. And she lived back in the Old Testament, and she was a daughter of the Canaanites. I won't go into some of the great qualities she had or the great hurts that she had, but I'm going to condense them into small little points, and I'll get to them in a moment. But as you read on your own these chapters, in these three chapters, you're going to see a story about Abraham. And he has a son named Isaac, and he wants his son to be happy. How many want your children to be happy? But he saw that Isaac needed a wife. But not just any kind of a wife. He needed a wife from the land of Canaan. And the reason is because back in those days, they wanted you to marry like faith. Didn't want his son to go out and marry somebody of a Buddha faith or of whatever faiths we have today. He wanted his son to have a wife that had godly principles. Say godly principles. Abraham decided to send out his servant to find a woman for his son to marry. This story has so many wonderful things in it. Like I said, not just a woman, but a woman from the land of Canaan. And he knew just what he wanted. But to make a long story short this morning, he does. The servant goes out and he finds this woman called Rebecca. And she was a good thing. And here we go. Without reading, we'll highlight six areas of Rebecca's heart. Amen? Okay, let's go. Keep in mind, she was a woman that loved the Lord, but she did have human weaknesses. We all have human weaknesses. I could build a whole lesson around Rebecca's heart this morning of all the things that she should have did and did wrong. But I'm going to highlight this morning the six areas of her life that was good. And I want us to glean and take ownership of this great woman that really had a heart for God this morning. Number one, Rebecca had a servant's heart. Rebecca had a servant's heart. The Bible says she drew water not only for the servant, not only for this man, but also for his camels. Supplying water for thirsty camels is a very demanding job. Do you know, ladies, I looked it up, and maybe some of you know it, 1 gallon of water is 8 pounds. Now you take this young girl, the Bible says that she was beautiful in that land. So she was a beautiful young woman that she could have had. When you're so beautiful that the Bible says you're beautiful, girls, she's beautiful. Paris Hilton who? I mean, there's not a woman in this planet that's been named and that could be as beautiful as Rebecca. What does that tell you? Rebecca could have had any rich man she wanted. Rebecca could have done anything she wanted with that beauty. But here she was, out tending the in her field, and that's what this man, this servant, was looking for, a woman that had a servant's heart. He was looking for her. And she came out, and not only did she come out smiling, she says, not only am I going to give you a drink of water, that one little cup of water, 8 ounces, but I'm going to feed your camels. Girls, that's like 2 water tanks on each one. I mean, do you know how much they drink? I mean, we're talking camels here. I mean, so this girl really had a heart to serve. And that's what God's looking in you and me in the ministry, is God wants us to serve in our homes, to be servants to our husbands, to be servants to our children, to be servants to the house of God. And she just did it. I mean, who can compare with camels here? Not me. I'd be like, where's Dr. French? I need me a chiropractor treatment after 2 big buckets of water. But the Bible says she was not lazy. It didn't use the terminology lazy, but you know when a person serves hard after to help someone, you know when she's drinking those or feeding those are watering those camels. And she wasn't lazy. Say she wasn't lazy. She joyfully offered. Rebecca was, like I said, she was a beautiful woman. But she had to put herself into great peril of physical strength to do what she needed to do. But you know what I like? I saw three things here. A servant's heart. She put herself through a lot of hard work for no apparent gain. Now watch this. There was three things a servant heart has. It has no strings attached. When you serve for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no strings attached, you know? Number two, it doesn't have to be seen. When you have a servant's heart, it doesn't have to be seen by man. What you do in the privacy, whether it's to come out here and you clean the toilets and nobody sees you but God in you, you know what? He's bragging on you this morning because you're doing it for the kingdom. Three, it doesn't have to be complimented. It just wants to bless. And there's nothing wrong with us wanting to be complimented for what we do in the house of God. Matter of fact, I live on compliments. I love them. Don't ever stop giving them to me. Rush after service to tell me how wonderful I am. The five love languages, they're all mine. I take ownership, you know, I'm a needy woman, what can I say? But the truth is, is a servant's heart, like Rebecca had, it didn't have any strings attached. I want to attach myself to you in this ministry to get ahead to where I want to be next month, next year. See what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be seen. It doesn't have to be complimented. It just wants to bless. Number two, Rebecca's heart was this. She had a heart of character. Character is this. I looked this up this morning. It means nature, quality, personality, disposition, charm, appeal. And the last one really stuck out to me is reputation. What does our reputation as women, what do people see in our reputation? Do they see us always murmuring and complaining? Do they see us as a character of a woman that we always venting about our mishaps? Do they see us nurturing our wounds? Does the world and our friends around us see us constantly gossiping about our husbands, about the workplace, about all the negative things in our life? Is that what we want to depict as Christian women? Now listen, there's a time and a place to be negative, but it's not everybody. It's not everybody. You cannot, as a woman with building character. Because what happens is this. When you let your character be flaunted to the marketplace, to the family, to all the negative things, and then you turn around and you have a face going this way, and you got a face going this way, no one will turn to you for their need. And that's what it's all about, women. As godly women with character, we do not need to have a double face. We need to have a face like flint, facing what God's Word says and being that character woman of God that God's challenged us to be and called to be. That way, when there's time of need, people are going to say, well, what face do I look at? Do I look at this one that's happy and everything is positive and God character? Or is it this one, woe is me, wearing my heart on my sleeve, negative, negative? Because people need an energy from the character that you hold this morning that is positive, so that we can touch a world for Jesus Christ and not give them the misnomer, the mismeaning of who God is and how powerful our Lord and Savior is. You see, we're being watched this morning, and our character says it all. Doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. Doesn't mean we won't go to heaven. Doesn't mean God's going to stop loving us. But it has everything to do how you reach your family, how you project yourself in the world, how you project yourself in this church, how you project yourself in all these wonderful ways is all built upon your character called your reputation. So we got to be careful what we say to everybody about what we go through, because then people question, why are they going through that? Why isn't God big enough? What's happening? Why isn't she that's professing Jesus Christ saying, I'm turning to God. I'm hurting today, but I'm turning to God. And put a positive scripture to that. This is what God's doing in my life. You can take a negative and you can turn it to a positive. Say amen, ladies. I love that. Where am I? Bing! I lost. Okay, a heart of of godly character. 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8 says this on character. Have nothing to do with godless myths or wives' tales, meaning whatever's not true in the world, but rather train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness, meaning having a strong relationship with Jesus, knowing what He's done for you, knowing who you are in Him, that builds your character. You see, your character is only... The way people see God in you is by your character of what you believe. That's how they see God. Remember I was telling you about a girlfriend of mine that was caught in legalism, you know, didn't cut her hair, didn't wear pants, didn't do all this thing. And I tweeted something, or I was on Facebook doing something, and she put something under my saying. It said this: the only way that other people see God in you is by what you wear. I was livid. My only sad thing was this. I deleted her first before I wrote the comment back. And didn't know how to get her back up there. I was so mad. But I put, no. The only way that others see God in me is by the demonstrating of the power of God, laying hands on the sick, leading someone to Jesus Christ, going and restoring the lost and the broken heart, feeding the hungry, giving a kind word. Jesus was with the sinners. Jesus did all those things, but yet, He had character. We can have character today. It's by what we do. Not work, not good works to go to heaven, but by who Christ is. That's how we build our character. Can you say amen? I love that. We can sing praises to Him. There's so many things. If you want to build a relationship with Jesus and you want to have the character of our Lord, sing praises to Him, read His Word. The greatest way to build relationship with the Father is this. Not just prayer, not just coming to church and hearing the Word, but it's fellowshipping around other women, men and women couples, talking about the Word. That bruh-shalabasita, you get so excited about God when you fellowship around His Word. And that's just the way that it is. You need to build that. Number three, her heart was kind. You see, she had a kind heart. And that's what led her to the servant. That's what attracted the servant to her. It's not just because she was a servant, but she had a kind heart. Now watch what happened. Because of her kindness, because if you'd read that three chapters that I was telling you about, ladies, in that there was a specific thing. He was on a quest looking for a specific damsel that would do this, this, and this. And while he was on that journey, there she was, being at the right place at the right time for good and not evil. And so there she was with a kind heart and a servant's heart. And what did that do? Listen to me, lady. When you're kind, say, when I'm kind, God opens doors to your destiny. God will open up the doors. He physically opened up the doors for Rebecca because she was on her mark of kindness. I love that. Hallelujah. Let me just say this by the Spirit. My mom used to tell me this, and I know some of you will feel this way. I think maybe once in a lifetime we've all felt this way. But talking about kindness, my mom said to me, my mom's always been a very kind person, and she's done a lot for a lot of people, always giving, always thinking. But she said to me one time, probably a decade ago, and it just went in my spirit, she said, you know what, I'm just tired of doing for people. And I said, what? She said, no, I really am. I'm so tired of being burned, and I'm so tired about not being appreciated, and I'm so tired about et cetera, et cetera. That I'm just, you know what, I'm just going to basically make a vow to be closed up in that area, and I'm just going to stop doing because I don't want to be hurt. And I said to my mother something that I believed was very prophetic, and I still believe this today. If you've been wounded when you have a heart to give out of kindness, and someone has just took advantage of you, or people maybe, have taken advantage of you, used your kindness, you were not appreciated, whatever. Listen, don't let that rob you from your future kindness. Don't say, don't make a vow in your heart, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to offer this anymore. I'm never going to do that because they did that to me. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to stop your kindness. And when your kindness, the door of kindness ceases, then you could be the only thing in another person's life that can change them forever and ever, because only your anointing can do that. And you've closed the door because of hurts. So you got to ask the Lord to take that away from you and just keep on giving. And you know, my mom listened to me and she did that. And I'm so proud of her for that. Amen. So she had a kind heart. Number four, her heart was to follow her husband. You know, ladies, a close relationship, if you're married today or if you're in your future marriage, and maybe, you know, don't, if you've been through marriage and divorce, maybe marriage and divorce and divorce. Listen, don't look at where you were, where you was, what happened then. Look where you are today. Maybe today you're divorced and you're looking for a new husband. But listen to me, you can follow and trust again. You honestly can do that. But her heart was to follow her husband. I just wrote a blog, and I would hope that all of you would follow me on my blog, because that's why I put them out there. But it's www.hereforlettergirls. And on it, it was talking about relationships with the husband. Ladies, listen to me. Don't be your husband's parent. There is nothing more emasculating as for you to rise up in an authority against your husband, and especially in front of other people. We are here to, you know, either we're biblical women or we're not. Women today live in a different generation, and that's why the world is so dysfunctional. Homes are not the way they should be. It's the days of Leave It to Beaver are left. Leave It to Beaver has left the building. But in God's kingdom and in God's world, He wants to Leave It to Beaver back in the house. Now, grant you, I understand you might not wear that apron, that you are in the marketplace today, and that's just the way life is. But you can still bring your house into an semblance of order to honor your husband. That's why God give us husbands. Well, my husband's not saved, but you can still honor him in areas of life by not disrespecting him. It doesn't always have to be your way, ladies. You know, there's things I do with my husband that I just go, I want to do that. I'm in a vice. I'm in a box. But you know why I do it? Because it brings him pleasure. I want to do things, and I will make sacrifices for my husband because I honor him. I treasure him. And I have found through life that the more I honor and treasure my husband, doesn't mean we don't have arguments. Doesn't mean we don't have disagreements. It doesn't mean that we might not get verbal with each other. But it's not going to be in front of you. I'm going to pay my husband honor, and I'm not going to be his mama. That's why many men go out and find other women, because they say, I'm married to my mama, so I got to find me a woman. Serious. So honor your husbands with your words and your character. Amen. Then we see number five. She had Rebecca had a heart of prayer. One of many that was recorded, she wanted children. And the Bible says that she prayed and she did a lot of things and she cried out to God, but her prayers was answered. Maybe yours this morning is not a prayer to have a child. I just grabbed one out. Maybe it is. Continue believing. But maybe your prayer is in another venue. That's okay. But the good news is this. When we pray, what is praying, ladies? That's it. You got it. It's talking to God. You know, a lot of people think that it's the old biblical way that you have to be around the fire of Moses or whatever and your hair flying back and, you know, seeing something white come down from the mountain. But the truth of the matter, my best prayer time's in the car, in the shower, on my walk. Oh, shout out to you. Between mustard and ketchup at the grocery store. And then somebody walks by and I'm kind of praying under my tongue, you know, just like, and I'm thinking, they think I'm crazy. So I say, huh? I say, yes, I make up some song as I'm singing. I just pretend like I'm singing. I'm happy. You know, I'm so embarrassed, you know, but, you know, just pray without ceasing and, you know, whatever. But listen, she sought for God and God answered. Wherever you're at today and you're seeking God, God's going to, God not only hears you, He's not deaf. God hears, He sees, He knows before the foundation of the world, and God is moving in your behalf. You're the one that's got to believe that. Amen? And we know the outcome according to Genesis 25:19. I won't read it, but prayer works, and it's in His promises. Hallelujah. And lastly, Rebecca was a woman, number 6. She had a heart of faith. Isn't that exciting? You know, when I think about, do you ever just think about the women of God back in the day? And for some reason, don't they just seem like so much more holier and so much like, it just seemed like it was so much easier because they got to see Jesus flowing down the street with this robe on. And life was more simplified back in the day. But I'll tell you something, they had stuff going on. They had to share their man with concubines. You know, they had to work hard. Look at my poor sister Rebecca, you know. Girls, I'm so glad to go in my little utility room and put that washer and dryer on setting. Hashundai, you know. I ain't beating no clothes on a rock. I ain't feeding the camel with 2 water tanks on the back, you know, and smelling, you know, all over me from the camel. Camel spitting on me with tobacco. But the Bible said she followed hard after what she believed. And then, you know what the Bible also says? When the servant came, when she made a commitment to follow, it says that the servant gave her, you ready? A nose ring. See, we just think nose rings are for today. I was thinking to myself, I hope it was like 3 carats in it. So it was GF. Woohoo! Certified G. 3 carat hanging off my nose. You know, you might as well think big. If you're that beautiful, you know, you deserve that. But really, when he gave her that nose ring, it was a sign of commitment. God does different signs with us today for commitment. Praise God. We don't have to wear a nose ring. And it does have a big old diamond hanging off the end of it. To me, that would be like painful. But the truth of the matter is God wants us to commit. And to have a heart of faith takes commitment. Because otherwise, listen to me, you can say, I believe. But you know what? If you really don't have faith, you're sounding brass and tingling cymbals. You know, and I'll tell you something, there's times, and I've said this before, and some of you have went through just recently some real serious situations. Didn't know which way the pendulum was going to swing. Sometimes we don't. Listen, when we're operating in faith, we don't know which way the pendulum is going to swing. Now, we can call the word, we can believe the word, and we can speak. But sometimes things don't happen the way we think they're supposed to. But nonetheless, listen to me. Listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So as our faith for what we're believing God for, you know, in our marriages or finances or wherever you're at today, listen to me. It doesn't matter which way that pendulum swings, you're still a winner. And what makes you and me a winner is not because the evidence comes out to be what we perceive it to be. Because so many times if things don't swing the way we want it to, we get all behooved. And we say, why didn't God do that for me? But the fact of the matter is, you cannot box God. I cannot box God. I've lived long enough in this faith movement to know one thing. You cannot box God. When you start to box God in, He'll do it another way just to demonstrate you're not going to put me in a box, little chicky la-la. I am God Almighty. Hallelujah. And I am, you know, but the thing is this, it's to get our answers. It doesn't matter. We wish things. You know, we prayed and prayed for Bishop, and I wished he'd have had that miracle manifestation. That was my desire. That was Bishop's desire. But I'll tell you something. That day that happened to Bishop, he could have been buried 5 days later. But my husband survived it. And my husband had surgery. And my husband came out, and he's running and not walking. He's running and not fainting. Hallelujah. And I prayed that through faith, ladies, for years. Especially the last year, you all didn't know nothing. And I was faced with situations with my husband. And I'd go on that walk and I'd say, God, my husband's going to run and not be weary. He's going to walk and he's not going to faint. I command it in the name of Jesus. I don't have to understand. You said in your word, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. And you know what? Sometimes when I was praying and I had a knot in my stomach, sometimes I was just like, ooh, you know. But I said, God, I can trust you. I can't trust my husband to make the right decision. I can't trust a lot of things, but I can put my trust in you. And my faith is in you, God. And it happened. So to conclude this, listen to me. Put your faith in God, not by what you perceive the answer should be or how that answer should be. Get the lid off of that box and let God do something amazing in your faith realm, because it doesn't have to be precisely the way that we feel that it should be done. The main thing is, like way back in the day, Fred Price, when he had cancer, he walked, he said, God, I'm a man of God. I got cancer. He had surgery the first time, got cancer again. Had a mega church, still does, in Los Angeles. Man of faith, preached the word of God. And every day, he woke up after the first surgery with a big lump under his arm. It got bigger. He decided, I'm not going to have surgery. I'm going to trust you. Every day, the devil tormented his mind and said, you're going to die. And then what are you going to do when your congregation that you're preaching faith to, what's going to happen then? And you know what he had to do? He had to trust in the Lord with all of his heart. He opted not to have that surgery. That didn't come from another voice. He knew in his heart what he had to do. A year later, he's taking a shower and that tumor fell off under his arm that was so painful. And somebody said to him in his congregation, well, what took so long? He said, I don't know and I don't care. I got it. Woohoo! I got it. That was his faith, but it didn't mean he didn't wake up shaking at the knees some morning. Didn't mean he didn't see it. Didn't mean he didn't feel it. Didn't mean that his mind wasn't tormented. But as a man of God, he put his faith not in what he saw, but who Christ is. I want to read a scripture in closing. Ezekiel 36:25-26 says this. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. And I will remove the old heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, ladies, that was Old Testament, but it's so precious I had to read it. But John 3:16 says this. Are you ready, girls? He says, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not die but have everlasting life. Now this morning, we have to understand, according to the book of Hebrews 3:16, it says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. The only sin that we commit this morning, girls, listen, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, you might have not even drank a thimble of beer. You might have never said a nasty potty mouth joke. You might have been clean at heart more than me in my day. Doesn't matter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now here's, what do we sin? It's not what we're doing yesterday or even today. You may walk out of here today after accepting Jesus and slip and say words or do things the old way. It takes time sometimes. But the one thing you have to understand, the sin that we commit is one thing. It's that we don't know who Jesus Christ is and we don't have him in our heart. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head this morning. I want every woman at this place to say the prayer that I'm about to say. I spoke this prayer 35 years ago. It changed my life. I'm still not perfect. Gloria Pruitt's still working hard every day to try to be the character of woman of God that God wants me to be. And I work hard at it, and I'm still falling short. Every day it's a process. But we're going to pray this prayer today. Heavenly Father, today I recognize Jesus. I believe, Father, that Jesus Christ died that I might have life. Today, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to reside forever. I believe that he died and went to hell and rose again that I might live. I ask you to forgive me for being a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me for rejecting Jesus. But today, Father, I accept him. I believe in him as the one and only way to heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to be brave one more time if all of you would bow your head. And I'm going to ask if that was you today and you've never said that prayer. It's not by joining this church. It's not by giving money. It's not by how good you are. But if you said that prayer, I want you to just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or stand up, or I won't identify you. But at your table, we have a table leader that has a Bible for you and just wants to talk a little bit more about Jesus, maybe at the end of the service. If that was you, please raise your hand. I would love to pray with you this morning just from up here. Okay, who is that one brave lady that's here today that says, Pastor Gloria, I said that prayer for the first time. I'm not going to embarrass you. Raise your hand this morning if you believe Jesus died. Well, I'm going to have Pastor Barb come up now. And if that was you and you was afraid, you thought I was tricking you, you can see your table leader afterwards. God bless you. Did you enjoy the service?